and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, and two episodes in the middle of Guess Who's Older. My mic got cut out. I don't know how that happened. So right back to the game where we were. I asked you who's older, us, Alberto Del Rio or John Cena?
So what do we have for the first topic?
Answer the question. Mm-hmm. Alberto Del Rio or John Cena? Guess who's older?
Tito Santana.
Guess who's older? There's point to all this shit, actually.
There's a point?
There is a point to this, so keep going. Okay. I want you to keep going here.
Just so what I was doing? You want me to keep going?
No, keep going. Answer the fucking question, fuckwad.
Okay, sorry. What was the question?
This is, by the way, going to be our clean show, folks.
Fuck it. What was this?
Was that Gene Oakland on the line?
I don't know. Okay. Well, okay, so sorry, you said to answer the
Alberto
question.
Alberto Del Rio or John Cena? Guess who's older?
Guess who's John Cena.
John Cena is older. Yes. Okay, that's good. John Cena, 34. Okay. Alberto Del Rio, 33. Now, Tara of TNA, formerly, what was her name in the WWE?
Victoria.
Victoria, former Victoria within the WWE. Or China, what was her name of TNA? What was her name in the WWE?
China.
China of the WWE. Guess who's older?
Victoria.
They're both 40 years old.
Okay.
Victoria's hotter, though.
Yeah.
And a woman.
What the fuck's the point?
1 second. Zack Ryder or Cody Rhodes?
Is your mom an option?
No. Which one is older?
Oh. Well, they both swapped their moms, so which one's older?
Yeah. Well, but who?
I'm going to say
Zack. This is the entire WWE roster.
Zack Ryder.
Zack Ryder's 25.
Okay.
Cody Rhodes is 25. So my question comes to you on this. Cody Rhodes, an emerging character within the WWE.
Kind of, yes.
Yeah.
Stifled a little bit, I think.
Yeah, stifled a little bit, but somebody we really like his talent and his current persona. Wow. Zack Ryder, internet sensation far more than Daniel Bryan ever
woo,
was.
Woo, woo,
you know, his show now going to WWE.com.
Presumably.
Presumably, it appears that way. It's grown too big for YouTube, is what he said. Fantastic. We're big fans of him as well.
Which means Vince
so we're going to play
control.
This or that. They're both 25.
Okay.
You pick Zack Ryder or Cody Rhodes. That's tough.
It is. It's.
I know you're fans of both.
It's tough. I'm a fan of both. And if you'd asked me this question 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
I would say Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But in the last couple weeks with Zack Ryder, with Cody Rhodes, this Ted DiBiase thing. Ted Corpus Christi DB. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't get it.
No, I don't either.
I honestly
seems
don't
like it's not what he needs.
It.
It's not what he needs. It might be what Ted needs, but it's not what Cody needs.
I don't think so, because it's a situation where Cody's not bringing him up, which is what I assume that they intended.
Yeah.
Ted is bringing him down.
Exactly.
Because he's not there yet and established yet that he can take on a sidekick.
No, that's
you know,
the thing.
And he can't, and not to say that he can't take on a sidekick.
Certainly
it's
not
he can't
like that.
Take on a sidekick the caliber and level of Ted DiBiase Jr.
It's one thing to have a big bodyguard, right?
Yeah, or a new guy. It's one thing for, and this is a bad example. Okay, it's one thing for a Shawn Michaels to have a Diesel.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's a different thing for...
Or Tyson Kidd to have an Andrew Jackson.
That's where I was going, but I'm thinking, well, that's kind of a shitty example because it's broken up and doesn't matter anymore. But, you know, that's one thing, okay? But it's one thing for a CM Punk to have a Mason Ryan or a Festus or, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
Cody's not there yet.
No.
Cody's on his way up.
He was, yeah. So
he was.
So if you pick one, Zack Ryder or Cody Rhodes, your answer is going to be Zack Ryder at this point?
At this particular point in time, given the booking, I think that Ryder has more upside currently, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting. All right. Do you have a topic? Do you want me to hit another one here?
No, go ahead and hit another one. I know there's been a lot to talk about in the last little bit. We did our Macho Man Randy Savage tribute show as our last show, so there has been a lot sort of going on. So we did want to hit one of the things that we will hit, and I'll let you hit your next topic. But we will want to get into the ROH sale, which you know was one of the things we were going to talk about last week, but of course time constraints wouldn't have allowed it, and the Randy Savage thing a little more important.
Yeah,
a
we
lot
were talking
more
about,
important.
On frankly. Sunday, on Sunday, we were talking about Randy Savage, and we did. I did have a couple topics regarding the Over the Limit pay per view that was going on that night that I wanted to hit to, but I mean, we went to an hour and a half on Randy Savage, and that's much more enjoyable and important.
Well,
I just want to talk about this because I was. It's going into the well. Celebrating his memory to me was enjoyable. That show made me feel better about his
passing. Wish we didn't have to do it.
I wish we didn't have to do it, but I always remember and love Randy Savage. So the point is, though, going into that show, I was actually getting pissed off as we were nearing the time of that show because I was thinking about the I Quit match.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know your it's like this is hey month before Extreme Rules we did a bunch of gimmick matches. Which one didn't we use? Oh, we didn't use I Quit. Well, let's use it instead of there being a reason for an I Quit match to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me in your opinion, how do you book or build an I Quit match? There's only been a couple really successful ones: Austin and Brett. And Magna T.A., Tully Blanchard.
Yeah, yeah. And Austin and Brett, I don't know that Austin and Brett was necessarily built well.
No.
The match itself was fucking phenomenal.
I think it was built well because that was the point that you had a guy who was a heel, but you could not see him saying, I quit. And he's against a guy who was a face and was good enough to make the other guy submit, but you know, there was a curiosity there, just in you wanted the guy because one guy was a good guy and you wanted to beat up the other guy and make him quit, but you didn't really want to see this guy quit.
Well, they're both at the same. I don't want to say they're both the same level, but yeah, you're right. Both in that same regard. I'm just saying that when it was telematic, it got to the point where we need this I Quit.
Yeah.
You know, we need to have this I Quit match because I am going to beat the fuck out of you to the point where you will be so beat and so bloodied and so battered that you're going to have absolutely no choice.
And the heel has to keep on getting over on the babyface generally,
yes.
Leading into an
I
Quit.
I am going to beat the fuck out of you so you can't get up. And
exactly.
And with Brett and Austin, while it ended up that way, and while the story of the match that they laid out was that, I got the feeling I didn't get the feeling, but I mean, Austin was definitely a thorn in Brett's side.
Oh, absolutely.
But, and Brett,
you know,
was
he said
like
to Brett,
was,
it'll never be over. It'll
not
never
ever,
be over.
Brett, not ever. But not until your ass is back home in Calgary, right?
Yep.
So, and he's in Hawaii now, so it's not over right now.
Oh, he's in Calgary right
but,
now.
Wow. No, he's in San Jose right now, actually.
That's
but anyway, it's one of those situations that the feud was getting good, and the story in the I Quit match, but I just, you know, if they had a cage match,
yeah,
you wouldn't have gotten the bloody pass-out finish, perhaps. But I think they could have done, and they would have figured out a way to tell a similar story with a different deal inside of a cage. I don't think that, I mean, it did happen to have the I Quit stipulation, but that wasn't a deal breaker. Where with Tully and Magnum, to me, that was a deal breaker.
That's true. That's true. And but like I said, so that just throws me into the WWE and their stupidity. Hey, it's a match. It's a stipulation we have left over, so let's use it. That's not how you do it, folks.
What about Rock and Mankind?
Their I Quit match was interesting too, but I mean, the match itself was a gimmick into furthering the feud. It wasn't so much, but it was the idea. You could not see Mankind submitting, and that's the whole point. You had a heel you hated, and you wanted to see him submit, and then you had a baby face who you figured never would.
Well, to me, that feud, though, was...
You don't really want to see the Miz submit, because, Cena already won the title from him.
Well, the Rock and
right?
Mankind...
Leading into that last pay-per-view, didn't have any momentum.
Well, no. But Rock and Mankind, to me,
doesn't.
Was all gimmicks.
Yeah.
They did the empty arena. I mean, Mankind won it in a straight-up match. Empty arena.
Yeah.
Went to the I Quit. Went to the last man standing.
Yeah, that's right. Double count out.
And the next night on Raw, ladder match, right?
That's right.
And that pretty much was the short culmination of the feud. Well, they had another one at the there was In Your House Rock Bottom, and I don't remember what the gimmick, if there even was one, maybe necessarily there. Could have been a falls count anywhere.
I can't recall. I think there was a gimmick of some sort. Yeah.
It wasn't a buried alive.
Yeah, but it was all coming off of the Survivor Series where it was the other screw job, right?
Exactly, right? Yeah. So, but that was really their feud went from November to February.
Well, so every match was a gimmick match, and guess who booked it?
If I could be honest with you.
Yeah, the characters were hot, and the...
The characters were so hot that they needed to have gimmicks in every single scenario that we played out.
Okay, anyways, the characters were so hot and the company was so hot, but the I Quit match itself wasn't so hot as far as, hey, we got to see that. It was just part of the package, so...
Well, the I Quit match was fucking great, but the actual...
I'm not talking about the match. I'm talking about the build to it. I mean, it's like the characters were hot. The feud was hot. The company was hot. So therefore, it felt like, you know, but it wasn't like you say. It wasn't the best build for an I Quit match. Ever, because it was a short build to it again. It wasn't building for months. I think the Brett and Austin one was probably, I think it was probably a better build than you thought. Because, I mean, he kept on going. I think so, because he was going after after Brett's legs, going into it. And you know, Brett had been unable to make him submit at the Survivor Series when they met in 1996. And,
they did the WrestleMania 8 finish, right?
They did the WrestleMania 8 finish instead of the $1 million dream into the
roll up deal, for the corner push.
So that's my entire point though is just I'm really sick and tired of the WWE sitting there and going, we have to sell this, so we need a gimmick, so we're going to use the one we have left over that we haven't used now in 3 or 4 months, and that's how they do it, and it's shitty booking. They need a booker in charge of that company, and then you can have writers enhance it, but you need a booker who's the lead man, and you know, obviously that's a problem.
So with you, what you're saying is they need Montel Jordan.
Yes.
This is how we do it.
It's
Friday night.
Yeah.
I feel all right. You know, the party's here from the west side.
Yeah.
So I reach for my 40 and I pull it up.
Yeah.
Designated driver, take the keys to my truck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No?
Mm-hmm. I have no idea what you're saying.
I know, because it was cool.
Yeah. No, exactly.
And I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
Exactly. So anyways, you're saying your topic.
My topic now.
Unless you want me to do another one.
No, I don't want you to talk anymore.
No, actually, I do, because I got one that's based off that. Then, okay, now, fuck it, you go.
Please, Mo.
Okay, no, I'm just saying, because I know I have a lot more topics. I come more prepared than you do, Dickwad. So, based off that, I want to talk about the, about a week and a half ago, Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez of the Wrestling Observer Figure 4 website had a fantastic interview. It went just over an hour with Bret Hart. And in this, I want to know, Bret Hart, I mean, other than him slamming the shit out of Bischoff regularly, which is actually kind of funny because he says Bischoff he didn't like his booking or the way he runs the company.
But he was a very nice guy.
But yeah, he said he liked him and he treated him well and he was very good around the Owens stuff.
Yeah, it was
he thinks he's a shitty booker and shouldn't have ever run a company.
Right.
But now in this one, he was like just like the guy's an ass and he was really slamming him. But other than that... What do you think is the ideal role for Bret Hart in wrestling in 2011?
Oh, I have no comment on this subject. No, I look at Bret Hart and I don't know why this didn't continue, especially now. We don't know about. We talked about managers. I wrote two fucking blogs about managers at pwjournal.wordpress.com, and. Now it looks like and I said, well, wait till, I haven't seen Superstars yet, so I apologize, people, but last week, Tyson Kidd lost, of course, to that up-and-comer, Yoshitatsu, so why the fuck wouldn't you lose to that if you're going to get a push? And, of course, Hayes saying that you failed me, and so I don't know if this is a one-week experiment or what the deal is, but to me, Bret Hart...
Tatsu's good, too, though.
Leading the Hart family. Of course he is, but... If you're going to push fucking Tyson Kidd with a fucking manager, push Tyson Kidd with a fucking manager. Don't job him out week one or week two.
Yeah, well, I agree.
Fuck.
But nobody ever said they were going to push him.
Okay, Yoshitatsu's good, but is he not able to be a sacrificial lamb to get a point across? Of course he is.
Yeah, if that was ever their game plan.
Yes. And so here we are, and then again, as I said, I don't know, and forgive me because I didn't watch Superstars. I wasn't one of the 800 people. So, and read the spoilers. So, when I look at Brett, I would say Tyson Kidd, Natty, you know, a Hart Foundation type thing would have been the way to do it. Now, you know, I talked about the European stable and how I really like that. Well, he's, you know, he's really liking Drew McIntyre. Why not?
Yeah, he likes
Drew
McIntyre.
Why not? Right? He's tweeting about Drew McIntyre.
Well, in the interview, he's sitting there talking about Drew McIntyre. He's talking about Sheamus. He talks about a lot of guys that he thinks, oh, man, if they could only get this. And he talks about a lot of old-school wrestling and his storyline ideas. It sounds like he wants to get more involved. And that's why
the problem,
I mean, I've thought for a long time that his best role would be to replace Pat Patterson as the finish man, and finish man for matches.
Yes.
Especially matches like
Royal Rumble. I understand that, and I agree with you 10,000%. The problem is that
he doesn't want to be on the road that much.
No.
Well, that's one problem.
I don't even give a shit if he wants to. Fuck it. I don't give a crap about Bret Hart's feelings at this point. No, I'm making this thing. This is what I'm saying. This is my perfect world fantasy book scenario, but you also have to look at the fact that Hunter's in charge.
Yeah.
Hunter ain't having Bret be his finish man.
No, probably not.
No, not at all. So that's...
It's something they're really sorely missing, though, right now within the company. And like I said, I'd love to see Brett. I mean, he understands the psychology of wrestling. He could understand how to book and get over a Drew McIntyre better than anybody else has. You know, because Drew McIntyre needs an old-school type of build. I don't know.
Finish
man. He'd be the best finish man.
Pat Patterson, I look at Gerald Briscoe, too, and I look at how the show has suffered with Gerald Briscoe not being the timing man. You know,
yeah.
Billy Kidman as a timing man. You know, just shit suffered.
It is, because you know? He's not as able to adjust on the fly.
Not yet. I mean, he may learn, because, I mean, let's be quite honest, is it that Briscoe did that
job. When I heard that it
job,
was him that, yeah, Briscoe,
Briscoe
did
that job for 20 years.
Yeah, and when I heard, though, that it was Kidman, I thought he was an odd choice. He's just not somebody I would have thought of. No offense to the guy, but he's just not somebody I thought would have thought of in that role, you know?
Well, if anybody...
I'm not sure who is, but not him.
You know what they did?
Ricky Steamboat, maybe, or Barry Windham, or Arn Anderson, I could see in that role. Not Billy Kidman.
You know what they said, though, is the way that they hired for the job, he said, well, who can we get to scratch that? And Billy Kidman said, well, I've had a 7-year itch. And they said, perfect.
Perfect.
So that's...
Perfect.
That's actually...
Addy's referencing stuff from 1997, folks.
But that's behind the scenes. That's real life stuff you don't get in any other show.
That's true. All right. Now your topic.
My topic. Let's talk about the Ring of Honor sale.
Okay.
Ring of Honor has been sold to 100% ownership now. Kerry Sulkin no longer the owner. He's staying on as a consultant with the company. And he is no longer an owner at all.
Yeah.
Sinclair Broadcasting 100% owner. So
Rob Feinstein has nothing to do with him?
Well, he did.
Yeah.
At one, you know, at first they were offering him about $17,000 a year, I think, as a salary.
Mm.
And he went, I'll pretend you said 18, LOL.
Yeah, so, I think so.
But either way, talks broke down.
Yeah.
They're not actually looking at hiring any pedophiles at this point.
Really? Or Mel Phillips and
Phillips and Rob Feinstein, maybe to TNA. I don't know.
Jimmy Jam Garvin. No luck.
No luck there.
Pat Patterson's not going there either to be the finish man.
Well, you know what? What do you think about this? We got a call. What do you think about this, Gene Okerlund? Fuck it! All right, that's what I thought, too. But that was Gene Okerlund. Yep. That was legend.
I hope they find that Gene Okerlund.
Oh, they better, eh? Well, I don't know where he went, eh? So, but anyway, Sinclair Broadcasting, they own 57 stations in the United States. They're only... I mean, that's the thing. I mean, when we look at, and you were asking me, you know, like, how do they compare to Panda Energy?
Yeah, financially. That was my first, one of my first
questions. That was the first question.
Yeah.
Again.
According to Kurt Angle, Panda Energy could buy Vince McMahon 100 times over.
That's right. So that's probably true.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's damn true.
It is. It is. You know, you know, Penn Energy has a whole snowbank full of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it doesn't even snow in Florida.
That's right. That's right.
Or Memphis, or wherever they are.
Texas,
whatever.
Texas, that's right. No. But anyway, Kurt Angle's an idiot.
Or drunk.
Or both. But
or high.
The thing is they're only in 22% of U.S. homes right now.
Yeah, 22%.
Right? 57 states. It's, quite frankly, I think it's better.
It's more than Spike TV, though, according to Hulk Hogan.
And Hogan has promised us an interview.
Oh, you're shitting.
No, bro. He's promised.
You got Hogan on the line. You know who I got coming? The Governator.
Really?
Arnold, coming off of his scandal. I got him on today.
I got Hogan. You got Schwarzenegger, the Governator.
That's it. That's all the steroids. There's none left.
Huh. Yeah. We have to wait till they die and inject their ashes.
Dennis,
talk about the pot and the fucking kettle, folks. But when so 22% of U.S. homes. That's not a lot. I think it might be better in HDNet.
Yeah.
Okay, but.
That would be difficult.
But the other thing is that it's a financial backer situation. So, yeah. So they own the company. Kevin Kelly, going to be the lead play-by-play announcer for their television.
That's fine.
Starting in September, it's going to tape August, I believe, 13th in Chicago Ridge. They have June 24th. They've got a big press conference in Maryland. This is a Baltimore-based company. So so they go from being a Philadelphia-based company to a Baltimore-based company.
And here you talked about using needles earlier. Baltimore.
Uh-huh. What happened in Baltimore with needles?
I don't know. I've just heard that there's a problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Who told you? Raven?
Yeah, Raven. Oh. Yeah, well, he would know.
In Baltimore?
In Baltimore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got Kevin
Kelly. Down there.
Down where? So... Kevin Kelly, lead play-by-play announcer for the show. Gary,
you know what? There's a guy in Baltimore who actually was calling, and he wanted to know how much.
Let's go, if he's on the line.
He's on the line. He wants to know Sinclair Holdings weighs.
Huh? What? Hello, Mo.
Is that Art Donovan? Art Donovan Sinclair doesn't weigh anything.
How much does Sinclair Broadcasting weigh?
Do you want to know how tall they are?
Wow! How does Sinclair Broadcasting do this? Eddie and Mo?
Yeah, we're here.
Did you guys do this when you talked wrestling? Yeah. Oh my god!
Yeah.
How's Razor?
And how much does Razor weigh?
How much does Razor weigh?
Yeah, and how tall is...
I think he weighs a 2'4".
Yeah, 2'4".
Yeah, gotta go, guys.
Thank you, Art.
Thanks, Art. Wow, that's an NFL Hall of Famer right there. We had an NBA Hall of Famer, now we got an NFL Hall of Famer. This is unbelievable. Gary Juster. Let's get back to ROH. Gary Juster, I don't know how you say his name. Anyway, he's a vice president of the company now. He's in charge. He's going to be in charge of their live events.
Yeah.
He was involved in WCW promoting.
Yeah.
That way he... He, I guess, was actually, they're considering him the broker of the deal, I guess. But I heard it was Cornette. Well, I guess Cornette and Juster, they would know each other, and I think Cornette may have gone to Juster and done that. I don't know that specifically, but I think that's where the connect the dots, la, 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 it kind of went.
Yeah.
Cornette and what is his name? Hunter Thompson? Hunter Johnson?
Hunter Delirious? Johnston.
I love that his name is Hunter.
Yeah, his first name is Hunter, his last name is Johnston.
Yeah. I just love that, though. But Delirious and Cornette are going to be the bookers. Cornette also a vice president.
Yeah.
As well. So, and then they have a new chief operating officer, Ossifer.
Ossifer?
I'm not as thick as you drunk I am. new chief operating officer. Fuck did I become a stereotype there.
You are pretty goddamn drunk, though.
Yeah, well.
It's okay. We there'll be a little TNA talk, likely, unfortunately, on this show. So.
Fuck. The fellow's name is Joe Koff.
Joe Koff.
Not Jack Koff. Joe Koff.
No, I thought he was the singer.
That's his brother, is Jack.
What do you do when they sing out of tune?
Isn't that Cocker?
Oh, fuck. My mistake.
No,
let's start our show over.
Okay. Fuck it. This is Joe Koff. Not his brother. Jack Koff.
There you go. Joe Koff. He went a long way for that joke, folks. You should see how proud he is of himself in here. And actually, the Palacio Addy Studios of Big Addy Cool.
And
marble floors, gold encrusted.
Also, they talk about how what the connection is for the chief operating officer of Ring of Honor, Joe Koff, is that his brother actually was Jeff Hardy's dog. Jack.
Jack Koff. Nice.
Swinging for the fences here, folks.
Hey, you know who was my favorite wrestler in the 80s? I like Billy Jack Koff.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he was good.
He's from Oregon.
Remember
wasn't
his feud with
you know what
he Hercules?
He didn't get the fingers locked.
Not when he was jacking off. And we thought that the five knuckles shuffle was only for John Cena.
Apparently not. Billy Jerk Haynes. Same way. Nothing
same
else
way.
Feels so right. Haynes.
Yeah.
But
that's right.
He took didn't wear his Haynes. But anyway. But that's what that's essentially
We're
what I know.
Really off topic.
We really are. We'll go back to Sinclair Broadcasting and what this means in terms of versus Panda Energy. And they did have a profit in 2010.
Holy shit. So they're nothing like TNA.
Well, no, we're talking Panda Energy, though. I don't know what Panda Energy's... and Panda Energy probably is having a hell of a 2011, quite frankly, with the price of oil.
No shit.
But the Sinclair Broadcasting losses in 08 and 09, and then a profit in 2010. Now, I don't know enough about their business. I was able to do a little bit of research, but, you know, just not really getting into too terribly much... you know, about what the reasons for. Because, they lost, I think it was something like $116 million in 2009, only to be $72 million to the positive in 2010. So that's quite a swing.
That sounds like a video game company.
Yeah, well, but I don't know, quite frankly, what the reason is for that. I mean,
I've never heard of Sinclair Holdings, right? Like
Sinclair Broadcasting.
Or Sinclair Broadcasting.
Yeah, neither have I, but I mean, it just, I, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you never
but
heard of.
Essentially, what my hope is, I hope that this means that they can, that we can see another wrestling war, but not for the number one spot, but we could just see a wrestling war for the number two spot.
Never heard of TDH Communications until recently either.
This particular show, not copyright TDH.
We are not copyright TDH.
We invite you to be pirating us on other places.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Small businesses like us like it if other people listen to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue. Sorry, you never heard of what? Or no, your hope is?
Yeah, my hope is that they'll be able to challenge TNA, that we'll have a Monday Night War, so to speak, situation. But for the number two spot, and that they can put TNA out of business and really save all of our souls.
Yeah, well, Oliver knows.
Oliver knows.
But, no, I think that if Ring of Honor can come out, they can get some money. And, again, I don't know the financial situation of Sinclair Broadcasting. I see what they've got. I don't know what they're willing or not willing to put in. June 24th is going to be a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe getting a little bit better of an idea.
And apparently they're looking to be on television by September. I mean, they're not jumping into
No, they are going to be on television in September.
Yeah.
That's solid. They're taping in Chicago
but
Ridge.
What I mean is they're not jumping in and doing TV next week just because they've been bought. I mean, they're going to take their time. They're going to try and do it right. Like I say, hopefully they can put a challenge and put an alternative product out there for people to watch in more homes and... You know, challenge, like I say, challenge TNA, and then my hope is always, I just want a second company to come up and be really, really good and challenge the WWE, so the WWE has to get good again, too.
Well, and that's just it.
I mean, that's a long fucking ways away, right? Like, we're not talking about, but maybe challenging TNA, maybe that can happen within a couple years.
Well, that's just the thing, is that you... It's not.
And ideally, TNA's out of business within a couple of years before that even happens. That would be fantastic, too.
Well, yeah, you're not going to get. Yeah, the WWE is well solidified as the top.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're not, you know, but you're right. But TNA is well solidified as shit.
That's right.
So it's not going to take a lot for Ring of Honor to surpass TNA or Impact Wrestling, whatever the
fuck. Well, I've said this before. I believe that what you're seeing with Impact Wrestling is you see the baseline of what national product of wrestling will do if it has a decent amount of homes that it goes into, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 1.1 is about the rating. I believe that Ring of Honor would probably be doing as well, pretty close to, you know, on the in that same situation. I think so.
Oh, in the same situation?
In the same situation. If they were in TNA, if they were in TNA's time spot. Okay, well, let's talk about... hold on, let me just finish my thought here.
Okay.
But now I forgot it.
Yeah, you had
now I lost it. Good fucking job.
Yeah, the only one you ever had, you forgot it.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the TNA television situation because they've hired a new head of Spike TV. And someone that came from the Discovery Channel. Don't know his name. Forget his name. Heard his name.
Yeah.
But they're talking about a possibility.
Shifting from trying to target the 18 to 34-year-old males.
And what's going to – the big thing with Total Nonstop Action, we talked about this – this could be 2 weeks in a row here. It was last Thursday that we talked about.
I now
about,
remember my point.
Was okay, well, it doesn't matter now. Is Ultimate Fighting.
Well, we're going back to it after.
UFC. And UFC, where UFC goes, because this is the end of UFC's contract with Spike TV this year, 2011, mm-hmm. It's ending. Where they go is going to have a huge impact on no pun intended, on TNA.
On Impact Wrestling.
Because...
We keep calling them TNA. Do we have to do that? Can't we just go to Impact Wrestling?
Well, you know, if I call them TNA, though, a lot of people might think that it's a strip club.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm hoping that, actually, because that might get some hits. Well, the other thing with Spike TV, their other problem is that I didn't get them in my hotel room in Chicago.
Yeah.
So
we'll get there later. Okay, I just want to say this.
Let's just wait, because I'm talking about TNA. I'm talking about their television situation, where UFC goes this year, 2011, because there's a lot of play for NBC's sports network. They're taking – ABC owns ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Disney, Universal, or Disney, they all own that. Now, NBC Universal owns Versus. They're trying to turn that into their own ESPN, mm-hmm. and they want to make UFC a big part of that. So if UFC goes over to Versus from Spike TV, that may cause this whole Network for Men, Mansour's Impact Wrestling bullshit to go away.
Yeah, absolutely, because what you have right now is UFC is an incredibly of their broadcasting time slots, they take up a ton of it. The reruns and Ultimate Fighter and all this type of stuff. So,
well,
I mean, they're
CSI.
On the right. But they're...
That's
they're,
the whole show.
That's pretty much the whole
network. It's a whole fucking network. 12 hours of CSI and 12 hours of fucking UFC.
Yeah, exactly. And then 2 hours of shit in between on Thursday nights.
Fuck it.
Yeah, but... I mean, it is true, but... if they no longer have UFC... they would have to fill that program with something, and it might just be easier for them to shift their focus away from what they currently have. And if that's the case, maybe they do or maybe they don't want Impact Wrestling on there. I mean, the fact is that Impact Wrestling still does do above the network average.
That's true.
But on the other hand, it is a fairly costly endeavor and a money loser. And Spike TV does hold a portion of that. They do financially support the company and pay for some of the contracts with the bigger stars.
Right, they have. And that's the thing. I don't know. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. And then that's, you know, all I'm saying is that if they get away from that branding of the network, that may not be good.
That's why the storyline calls them the network. That way if they end up in another network, you can still be the network fucking with them.
There you go.
Now it all comes full circle. And we thought they weren't paying attention. They are.
Actually, and you know what? On next week's Impact, did you hear what Bischoff's promo was?
No.
It was a backstage promo, and he goes, "Hey, network, I dare you to throw me off the air.
Yeah. Well, that would be him stealing from somebody else. That
really, that wouldn't happen.
No, but anyways. So, I mean, we could see it. But Impact Wrestling, I was going to say, getting back to the ROH thing, I think ROH...
Let's go to ROH so I can be happy again.
Get back to that.
I just wanted to put that out there because you're talking about number
two. If ROH is in, I mean, Impact Wrestling right now is reaching about 1.5 million viewers on their first run. every yeah. week, right? Let's say ROH is reaching 1 million viewers in their first run. Every
well,
week.
Let's just
go
okay,
there.
Okay.
Theoretically, okay. I don't think it would take much for them to be able to turn that into more than 8,000 pay per view buys. And in fact, I don't know that if you're reaching 1 million and you have a good product that people are excited about watching and paying for, mm-hmm. and a company that people like and want to support, and somebody they trust in Cornette, that you can't get above the 60,000 buys that you know the WWE is going to be doing for some of their lower pay per views as their ratings are falling to a 3.1, and their pay per views are starting to get down to the 80 and the 70 and 60,000 range,
wow.
right? And who knows what WWE pay per views are going to bottom out at this point because the company is
that's
is
a stretch
stale.
Though that's a stretch to go from they're go you're going from 2,000 eye pay per views.
TNA has been able to reach those numbers before, which means
yes.
they suck.
Ah, fuck no! You gotta look at it from the realistic perspective, though.
I'm not saying in a week.
No, I'm talking time frame, though. You're talking about TNA doing that. Well, yeah, okay. Well, what was WWE doing that when TNA was doing that? And you talk about ROH. I mean, ROH is doing
about 200. Then.
Yes, okay.
Well,
there
doing,
you
when
go.
60.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and WWE is the fucking benchmark, right?
Well,
so no. Look,
you don't see the benchmark.
Well, okay, but in professional wrestling, okay, I know
that
you
doesn't
have,
exist.
No, I know you see as the benchmark. I understand that, but when WWE was doing 200,000, TNA was doing what 15,000?
Yeah,
let's say 15 to 20.
Yeah,
okay. WWE is doing 60,000. TNA is now doing 5,000 to 6,000.
But the thing is that the WWE has pushed away. Like the WWE,
I know, but
the WWE
people...
got back up to 3.7, 3.8 when The Rock came back
prior
to Mania. They did 1 million buys for Mania. They've lost it since then because what they did was they
because what I told you is because people came back for Hunter, Undertaker, Rock, Austin.
Well, if people came back
now, they're not there.
Okay, wait. People thought they thought that they could convert those fans, right?
They failed.
Now, here's my theory on this. Okay, all right. Here's my theory on this. What they did was they thought that they could convert those fans. But those fans came back and they wanted to cheer The Rock and they wanted to see this guy John Cena get his ass kicked. They didn't turn Cena when they needed to.
Mm-hmm.
If they had done that, they might have had some of these people stick around because basically it's not even just the fact that they want to cheer against Cena. It's the fact that they want to cheer against Cena and the WWE telling to them, oh no, we're not going to change anything, means that nobody's going to buy that Cena has and nobody's – not many people are going to think it anyways. Mm-hmm. But the small kernel that maybe The Rock's going to kick his ass next
Robert
year
– Robert Parker?
Has been absolutely – I didn't say nugget.
You said kernel.
Exactly.
Robert Parker.
So the small kernel that maybe The Rock actually will kick this guy's ass, which we want to see,
he's
has been taken
Robert
away.
Parker.
Nobody believes that. Because they didn't turn the guy heel. And you always want to see they missed that opportunity. They turned away those fans because they didn't give them what they wanted. They didn't recognize the situation. Instead, fear of their ticket sales and their merchandising took over that. And you know what? I have to say,
I don't think that's a problem.
No, wait. They do believe that John Cena, they're going to lose the merchandise and they're going to lose that young audience. They do believe that they're going to lose those sales in the house shows. They do. Now, here's the thing,
of course
though.
They are.
But yeah, to a degree, it's possible somebody else might step up. And that's my point. Is you never get what is the expression? There's an expression. You never get anywhere by being safe. You have to be, you know, you have to be brave. You have to take a chance. It might blow up in your face, but greatness is only achieved if you're brave. And WWE has not been brave.
Bravest man, you know. But no, they haven't. And but at the same time, I don't know that they're worse off.
Maybe
I don't
not.
Know, I don't know. You know
we
I mean?
Don't it's, know. It's theory.
You
it's,
don't
we're talking.
Know. We don't know. No. But no, we really don't. And that's the thing. But I agree. Okay, they could have gone the Cena road. I don't disagree with the fact that they could have gone the route of
a better chance to not drive.
I don't know
off.
That. Yeah, but I don't know that they're that far off with like the thing that I look at is when. When I look at the biggest example I can
quite
do...
Quite fucking frankly,
the biggest example I can look at when you're talking about turning somebody heel...
Yeah.
...is Hogan.
Yeah.
Right? Who else? There was Austin. And that
because
didn't work.
Fans were already ready to turn on him.
Yes.
That's
yes,
when the moment
yes.
you pulled the trigger.
But okay, would Hogan have drawn? What would? Okay,
so okay, let's put it this way.
No, shut the fuck up for a second.
Wait a second.
Who did Hogan draw his box office with?
What do you mean?
Who did Hollywood Hulk Hogan set the pay-per-view record with? Sting.
Yeah.
Okay. Could Hulk...
Okay, your drunk-ass form of sentence.
No. Who did Hogan not draw the pay-per-view box office record with? Savage?
He did well with Savage. He did extremely well. Extremely well with Roddy Piper.
Luger. Goldberg. Well, that was their own fuck-up. But...
He would have done
monster business with Goldberg. You're right.
He would have done monster business with Nash.
But the thing is, if it was done right, Sting was done right, and they had the right person in place.
And they did good business and all that.
Who do you do heel John Cena with that draws box office?
The Rock, moron. Next year, that's the point.
No, I don't think that that necessarily matters.
It would be a bigger match. I guarantee a lot of the people that had come here and gotten up to that bigger rating and paid for this Mania, they think a lot of them are going to come back immediately. They're not. They're not necessarily going to come back just because The Rock is sitting there and he's going to take on Cena now. If they think that The Rock doesn't have a chance, if they think, oh, you know what, you've already been betrayed, you've already played your hand out, you've shown us that this guy is not going to beat Cena, he's not going to, you know, they have to give them some reason to believe. And if you had a heel John Cena that was taking on Rey Mysterio, for instance, to start with, because the children's champion has turned on the children, and then the other children's hero, Rey Mysterio, takes him on, but fails and builds it up to being The Rock, then the people will actually get behind that storyline. But if they're going to sit there and just, you know, throw the guy out against a bunch of people like The Miz, who it's stale, and then Alberto Del Rio, and nobody knows what cares what's going to happen, and then he's going to face The Rock, and everybody knows The Rock's going to lose. And you know what? They've already betrayed the people that wanted to come back. People want to watch wrestling. People want to be there. People want to pay attention to what's going on in the WWE. You see that. That's why they give it a chance when they hear there's something that might interest them, and they come back. But you know what? When you sat there and taken away any of their hope, then they just kind of give up and run away, and that's what's happened. Please, give me a... Try and come back to that, Nimrod.
I'm sorry, what? I wasn't listening.
I know you weren't. You're taking a piss. That's why I was trying to talk loud enough you could hear me.
I know. Well, no, I can hear you. I don't agree with any of that. But, no, I'm just thinking that with the way I look at it, the way that the match is positioned... Is it's positioned as a
situation have another beer,
where
by the way.
I'm going to have another fucking beer. Is that it's positioned as a dream match, and it's a match between a top star from before and a top star now. And I think if you are going to turn, I don't disagree necessarily.
I'm not saying it isn't going to be a big match and draw. I'm saying it's not going to draw to its maximum potential because they've already fucked that up.
Mm. My question for you, though, is that if Rock's got the itch,
mm-hmm.
not the Billy Kidman itch, not
well, it didn't last 7 years. There's one year itch.
Not my dog itch.
No.
But my itch. But no, that's your mom's fault. But
yeah.
If...
The
Rock has the itch, then can you do a face versus face and then Cena turns heel and that match is even bigger? Can you do that?
No.
Or is it just the first time has got to be the only time?
No, yeah, the opportunity was there. It's like there was a time when Hulk Hogan, fans were turning on him. It was a good time for him to turn. Fans were sick of his act. They were sick of his act when Sid Vicious and him at the Royal Rumble.
They were
ready to turn it, and they didn't.
I understand.
But on the other hand, if they had turned Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania 5 and left Randy Savage as his face, it wouldn't have been as big. Timing is everything.
Could you have turned Hulk Hogan?
Just turning Bull Goldberg.
Could
or,
you have
or
turned
turning,
Hulk
turning
Hogan?
Austin didn't matter.
Could you have turned Hulk Hogan in 1993?
Yeah, you could have against Bret Hart.
Could you?
You could have, but it wouldn't have been as big. But you could have, yeah.
Yes, and that's the thing. Yes, you could have. It wouldn't have been that big, and that's the part of me.
But it wasn't as big because he wasn't around as much for the last
part of
years.
Me right now. And this is it. I don't disagree.
Bret could have done a face versus face match.
Yeah.
He was the only, he could have against
I know,
Hogan.
We
he's the only
about,
one.
We talked about that. The thing is, down. The thing is, we talk. What I don't disagree with you that I think that Cena.
Of course you don't. I'm right.
That Cena should go heel. But I just, I'm one of those, I don't think it's so bad right now to the point, when it get, you know, when you're desperate, that's when you pull it out.
The ratings say that they're down. The ratings are down.
Yeah, but they're not desperate. We just talked about TNA being above a fucking industry, and that's okay. But suddenly, WWE is three times their rating, and that's not okay?
Well, they're in three times as many homes. You know, if you go to your hotel room in Chicago,
you get the USA Network.
Yeah, you don't get Spike TV.
Never mind, my point is moot. No, but what I look at is, I'm one of those guys that I just kind of, I understand what you're saying, but people, I mean, when it was Edge was used to turn Cena face.
Yeah.
Fully. And he was the slimy guy that could do it.
Yeah.
Right? So, and that was...
That plus... That plus the Elimination Chamber, starting from the beginning to the end, the combination of he went through so much.
Oh, I just mean going forward, even on the Raws that... And all the way up to that, other than,
that
of course,
up a good question.
All the way up to that one night stand. But I look at, that was what, 2005, was it, or six? Six.
I think it was 2006, I believe, okay. Yeah.
So that was 5 years ago then.
Yeah.
You know, that we're coming 5 to 6 years ago, right? 5.5 years ago, that people were booing John Cena.
Yeah.
6 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you talk about they. Boo, and they've been ready, and blah, 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 and all that. And I'm mocking you, but I don't disagree. But I just like to mock you. But, yeah. But.
Have a beer and make your point, because I got to come back.
I'm going to make my point, then I'm going to have a beer. But it's something that I don't know that it's time, because it's not like
drinking Coke and going back to beer.
In 1992, but in 1992, Hogan wasn't getting booed as insatiously as he was in 1994.
We don't know that because they...
Ah, you're right. Sweetness sound. Actually, in 1990...
Okay.
He wasn't as 1994. Let's go 4 years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But 5 years ago, Cena was getting booed about as much as he's getting booed now. So there's just been that there. That's always been part of Cena. And Cena even said, if you hate me, you like me, blah, blah, blah. He's kind of incorporated that into the gimmick at times, right, when he's getting a hostile crowd. So to me, I think that eventually you can go full heel with him and get everybody to hate him, and it will be hot. I have no doubt that when Cena turns heel, it will be hot. Not on the level of Hulk Hogan, because he wasn't on the star level of Hulk Hogan, but I do think it'll be bigger than Rock and bigger than Austin, because they were the wrong times to turn them.
People didn't want those guys turned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Rock
or Goldberg, you mean, not Rock. Rock they wanted, but it was different. He was pretty much a semi regular at the time.
Yeah, but then Rock didn't even work really as a heel.
Because he was too
but
funny.
He is. Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
But the thing is, definitely Goldberg. Fuck, that was
terrible.
But I won't even talk about that because that's way down the list. But yeah. I'm talking about Cena, and I think you can wait.
Okay. Here's my point. When Ray or okay, let's go back to this. When John Cena was being booed on Raw there, the ratings were weekly about a 3.6, 2006. When the ratings were about a 3.6, 3.7, 3.8, their pay-per-view buys were about a 180, 200, 220, in that range. Now they're about a 3.1 mm-hmm. and about 80,000.
Yeah.
So this doesn't say to you that because those people, they didn't just stick around and go, you know what, I'm sick of booing Cena. They fucked off. That's my point. Now they came back for The Rock, and they fucked off again because they didn't give them what they wanted, and the rest of the crowd would have followed along if you had done it right. It was time to turn him. Let's put it this way. I'm going to say Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena is their SummerSlam main event, right, that they're looking at. Do you really believe in your heart that Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena – no, your black heart –
Owen Hart?
Yes. But do you really believe...
Sorry, you meant Bruce Hart.
No, that's just a bad company.
Oh.
Anyways, let's just say, do you really believe that Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena at this year's SummerSlam is a bigger draw than a heel John Cena versus a babyface kids hero Rey Mysterio would have been? Can you really tell me that?
No.
Fuck, then it's done.
I think it'd be the same.
It would. Oh, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Mexican against white guy.
It works in boxing.
No, exactly. Exactly. No, I'm just, I understand your point, and then I agree, but I just, I don't know. There's just, when you turn Cena, okay, let's look at it this way. I look at the fact that when you turn Cena, you've really started him down a path where he's got to be a white-hot heel for a couple of years.
I think 1 year is enough. I think 1 year.
Okay. One year.
Okay.
And then he goes back to being a baby face.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Unless he continues to draw as a heel, then you stay with it.
Yes. Okay. But, and I just kind of look at it from, right now, you've got a guy that's been the number one requested Make-A-Wish Foundation guy. You've got, no, but now let's just look at you've got a guy selling the most merchandise. And again, we're not in there, and I have dug deep into their financials to know exactly who's selling what. But right now, they are not losing money, and they're not changing. We talked about the cash in the coffers, as I mentioned, and the change in the corporate strategy of WWE to spend some money, right, and buy some things, okay? When that money goes away, then I think that's going to be an auspices possibly to turn John Cena if things are going down. What I'm telling you right now is that
they can be making money and still not be a hot company, still not be a hot product. Mm. That's what they are right now. So you can't
what?
Look
what
at
are
that.
They right now? What
that,
are they
that's
right
what
now?
They are right now. A company that's making money but not a hot product.
Yes.
You can make more money and be a hot product.
Yes. Or you can lose more money and not
but
be a hot
wouldn't.
Product.
They wouldn't. Because their financial
what are you
structure,
talking about?
Their financial structure at the moment is so that they wouldn't lose money if they turned
you suck my dick with their financial structure. It's what I'm fucking telling you. Is it the financial
somebody
structure.
Somebody else would step up.
Somebody
wouldn't be out.
Somebody could write in a fucking WWF fucking magazine all the fucking sudden. They looked into that bullshit. They looked into everything they fucking got in the goddamn
bullshit.
Attitude era, okay?
Bullshit.
What are you bullshit? Okay,
they,
fuck.
They
planned this out meticulously.
You know what? When Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, all these guys, Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage.
And
Hulk Hogan and Randy
Ultimate
Savage.
Warrior,
and Hulk Hogan
Warrior,
and Randy Savage.
When they left, when Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Ultimate Warrior, when they were no longer the top of the company, they had to go to Bret Hart, they had to go to Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah,
business wasn't... No, listen to me. Business wasn't great. I'm not going to sit there and say that. But their structure and how they ran the company, the revenue streams that they had then, is not the same then as it is now.
Okay.
Okay? They're not going to lose money if they turn Cena heel.
Okay,
and especially if people are actually interested in paying to see the guy get his ass kicked.
No, please continue.
So
anything
there you
else?
Go. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the corporate fucking structure, jackass. Let's talk about their corporate fucking philosophy. And let's talk about the fucking shareholders meeting that we fucking talked about on this fucking show, where we talked about at great length, I may add, the fact that right now what they do is when they make all the money, they were throwing it in the vault. They're putting into the savings. They were saving all the money. They were paying out the dividends. They had the money. Now they're going to spend all that money. Okay? So they're, if all these outside projects fail, if all these distribution things fail, we don't know they will. We don't know what they won't because we don't know what they are. But if they do, there's no money. They're back to ripping the fucking water coolers out of Titan Tower. That's a little bit exaggerated, I'll admit, because they are in a better position financially than they were in 1995 and 1996.
Number one, are you you sound like you don't think that Vince McMahon can run a company outside of wrestling. What?
What are you talking
think
about?
Of that?
What are you talking about?
Anyways, no.
I am going to be attending WBF 147.
That's right. That's right.
Gary Strydom's coming out of retirement against the Rock and Roll Wild Child, let me tell you.
But
that's what I'm telling you right now. They're changing that, and that is greatly going to impact.
I've been saying this for a long time, though. I mean, the company is stale. They're not willing to take any chances. You can't achieve greatness being
yes,
safe.
And
blah,
I agree
blah, blah,
with
blah.
That. I
okay.
totally agree with
this,
that.
These guys
and this
are,
is why
because the company is financially successful, because they are making money, because they have the revenue streams, and they all these things.
Mm-hmm.
It, The fact is, and the ratings have gone down so slowly, so, they haven't realized, I don't think, realized, because they're still having money. So, they don't realize how much they've fallen. Yeah, and it kind of comes to a point where you're going to turn around and go, fuck, we're now at a 2.2 and 15,000 pay-per-view buys, and we can't turn it around all of a sudden because we waited too long.
Okay, dipshit, can we at least agree to the point where if
that they... Your mom's a good fuck?
If they get to the position...
to the position?
Yes. If they assume the position.
If they assume the position.
Yes. So we're talking about
this
your
argument. Is it, you know what? Is it just me, or is this argument taking 45 minutes?
Just to get warmed up. Gene Okerlund, what did you do last time Mo's mom assumed the position? Fuck it!
Here's the thing. I hope they find that, Okerlund. But you know what? I got to say this. We've gone way over on this. Let's move on from this subject.
Well, I just want to mention one thing. Is it we? Because I just like to bring it back. Resolute. Come on, people. Now smile on your brother. Everybody, shake hands. Try to love one another. We're talking about agreeing to disagree.
I love you.
But I think that we can agree that, right, they've been coasting.
Yeah.
Because they've been at the high, they've been at the corporate, they've been
a money-making
entity.
You're still continuing to make money, so you don't have to take chances.
So this is kind of where Turner got in, is that they had a money backer, and it took a few years, but WWE really coasted off of the Hogan, the Hulkamania era, and then they lost a lot of money.
Bischoff had to learn all the stuff that he could steal to look like a genius from Japan. It took a little time.
Well, there's that, but I mean, his whole thing we've talked about it before is they looked at what WWF wasn't doing and tried to do it, and ROH is smart enough. Jim Cornette is certainly smart enough to know to do that.
Yeah.
But when because they're already doing it, just not enough people see it. But when we look at this, is that if they spend all the money, and we've talked about this before, is that that might be the. I think that that's going to be more of an auspices for change. Because they've really got they don't have this fallback that they're going to be at. And so that very well could be. So when we're talking about turning John Cena, they're not turning John Cena while they got the Scrooge McDuck vault full of money they can swim in. But as soon as that's empty, as soon as the Bugle Boys come, they're going to be running
Bugle
out.
Bugle Boys.
Yes, I know. Oh, I would love... see, is that not a dated reference for you?
Yeah, well, not as much as the 7-year itch. But hey, yeah, all right. Let's hit a couple
that's
things.
That's even worse than the 7-year itch.
In some ways it probably is.
Talk about Hulkster, brother.
No, wait. I have three things I want to hit here.
Okay.
It's based off of this.
Yeah, the training, the prayers, and the vitamins, dude.
Nope. Number one, we talked about Brother Love.
Yes.
Right? So let's talk about that.
Oh, let's talk about Brother
Terry
Love.
Taylor has
Terry Taylor
has been let go of his position within TNA. Now, he's fine. I assume he'll just get a job with Jim Cornette in ROH. But
talk about
Terry Taylor leaving and what's going on in TNA in that position and Brother Love.
Jesus. Well, I mean, the thing is that Terry Taylor got fired from TNA, apparently, is what happened.
You feel the John Laurinaitis role of talent relations.
Well, I don't know. Well, you know what? He was there. He came after Zach Gallen, though, so I don't know if he filled that role. But Terry Taylor,
he hired the right one-legged wrestler.
No, he didn't, because Zach Gallen was there before Terry Taylor.
I'm sorry.
But Terry Taylor... from what I at first I heard is that he was finishing up May 31st was the first thing that I read, and then I read that he was fired.
Yeah.
So one was on PW Insider. I read that he was finishing up, and then Meltzer said he was fired. And Meltzer's came later in the day, so I can only and it's Dave Meltzer, so I can only assume that he's right. But
you know what? You're always going to get fired if you're the cock of the walk. You can't walk around like that.
Well, the thing is that he got fired, actually, for part of TNA's new wellness policy because he came into work half-cocked.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those things. But Bruce Pritchard, of all
Bruce
fucking
Pritchard.
People, is going to replace Brother Love.
Brother Love.
Long-time
employee in the office in WWE.
Rio Reigns.
Yeah,
from Rio's Roundup, for those of you who were fans in 1994, late 1993, I think he tried to do that. But, I mean, fuck, I mean,
yeah,
I don't
more,
know.
More things change, the more they stay the same, though. I mean, you've hired somebody else who was fired from WWE and let go
Long time ago.
Yeah, a couple years ago
He's been out of it for a while there, yeah.
About,
yeah,
about 2 years now.
I remember there were overtures where he was trying to get a job with TNA almost immediately.
Yeah.
I guess that means it's Simon Dean, Mike Bucci, will not be in TNA anytime soon.
And I don't know that you can blame Terry Taylor for a great deal of the faults, but I do look at their talent roster and think that it's not as strong as it was 4 or 5 years ago, and he's been there that entire time.
We talked about douche or no douche, 2 months ago now,
maybe
even 3 months
ago. That's a game we played, douche or no douche. Everyone should go back and listen.
Yeah, it was back in March, I think we did that.
Yeah.
But... you know, we talked about it, and yeah,
I think we have another hour and a half show, by the way, just so you know. I think we're going another hour and a half again.
Well, you know what? We're twice as good as Greg the Hammer Valentine, because it actually takes us 90 minutes just to get warmed up. So, when we talk about Terry Taylor, again, I agree with you. It looks to me like Terry Taylor is quote-unquote the fall guy.
Yeah.
Of all this.
How much of this is his fault is difficult to ascertain at this point, but the company's talent level is not as strong.
Well, it's not, and I don't know that that's quite his fault, but again, I don't know it's quite not. I talked about before, I mean, it wasn't his call to bring in Jeff Hardy.
No.
It wasn't his call to bring in Ken Anderson.
No.
It wasn't his call to bring in Sting,
mm-hmm.
Foley. I mean, Hogan, for fuck's sakes, Bischoff.
Yeah, Bischoff.
I mean, these guys.
Russo.
Certainly not Russo. But, well, Russo probably predated Taylor. But
well, no, he didn't.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah.
Maybe not the rehire.
Was 2006.
Whatever,
so.
It doesn't matter. But the thing, Kurt Angle, you know, all these big guys, it's not Terry Taylor going out and scouting talent.
Yeah, Nash, I mean, even, you know.
And Nash and Sting and all the other that might have been, actually. Nasty Boys and Val Venis, probably, right?
Maybe.
But no,
Jimmy
Hart. I mean,
yeah, I know what you're saying. That's the thing is,
how do you fault a guy who didn't? You know, how do you fault a guy for? And I mean, I'm sure like Orlando Jordan wasn't his call.
Exactly.
You know, so how do you fault a guy for letting go? You know, Sanjay Dutt and Jay Lethal,
Petey Williams,
and Petey Williams. Yeah, yeah, when he didn't have the call to bring in these hires. So I mean, he was handcuffed, is what he
was. That's really
what
it looked like to some degree. On the other hand, the talent level is lower. He hasn't found cheaper replacements. It's like a few years ago, the ROH was losing a lot of the very talented performers, and I said to you, I was worried about the future of the company. They found other young
Davey Richardson. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. They found other young talented performers who didn't have a spotlight to fill that void.
Mm-hmm.
He's been unable to do that. He's been unable to bring in a cheaper version of a Petey Williams, if such a guy exists, and replace him, you know?
Kind of. But the other thing is that, I mean, Vince Russo has a history of not exactly getting along with this talent relations guy, right? You know, so it's... Because I'm pretty sure, and I don't know this for a fact, but in Russo's mind, I think he thinks creative should be also in charge of talent development.
I'm sure he does.
You know, which in Russo must be really happy for the Stephanie and Hunter marriage then.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go. But, I mean, to me, that's the thing. And so Terry Taylor, I mean, if Terry Taylor wasn't such an asshole in the Jim Cornette thing, I might actually feel a little bit bad for him.
Me too.
But he hasn't. So let me just say, Terry Taylor, fired by TNA, Awesome Kong's a bitch.
Yeah, no shit. No shit. And you know what else? Awesome Karma's a bitch. But you know what else?
Boy, that's good, Mo. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks for connecting the dots there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought you fucked it up,
as
usual.
Oh.
Anyways.
No, you know what? My dog understood.
Yeah.
And he's asleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not my liver dog.
All right. I just want to say this then. What do you think about Pritchard doing that role? Is there any hope for this guy? I don't know if this guy's going to be any good there.
Hmm? Is there love?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, could we
Orlando see Jordan and Eric Young on the Brother Love show?
We might see. I wouldn't be surprised if we see something like that, actually.
Yeah, but what do you call it?
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter.
Booker.
Doesn't matter.
No.
Yeah.
No, there's no real hope. And again, that right now, with who's in charge of the company and who's doing that with TNA, that's a figurehead position, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fall guy position. So until somebody gets in there, and it was in WWF, too, until Jim Ross got a hold of it and really said, you know, he quoted Gene Okerlund, and he went, fuck it. We got to get this shit going. And he took it and he did something with it. And he was a go-getter. Bruce Pritchard is not a go-getter. He's there to collect
the
paycheck.
Just since we've mentioned it 4,000 times this show, why don't you tell me where that fucking thing is, when it happened, tell everybody the story.
Yo, fine. This is Mo who wants to have everything explained to him. I mean, he's crazy.
Just in case. Just tell them where to go find a podcast.
If anybody needs to go to YouTube and just look up Gene Okerlund fuck. And it's a SummerSlam 1989?
Yeah, I think it's 89.
SummerSlam 89 or 90. I don't remember which one. But Gene Okerlund was... it was SummerSlam 1990 because he was interviewing Ravishing Rick Rude.
Yeah.
And it was 90 because it was Tony Schiavone and Jesse Ventura that were the commentators for this show. And it was backstage... And he was interviewing Rick Rude, and he goes, "Rick Rude, you got to be psyched about your match with the Ultimo." And then the SummerSlam sign fell on Gene Okerlund, and Gene Okerlund goes, "Fuck it!" And then they totally like broke away, and they like went back to a shot of the crowd, and it was silence for a minute, and then all you heard was Jesse Ventura go, "Ha ha! I guess I'm hoping they find that Gene Okerlund. He's got to be running away somewhere." And then
what
they just
was
immediately
great was
moved on.
It went out live. The best part is it went out live on the stream, but when they packaged the video cassette with it,
they kept it
in.
Yeah, they just did not edit it.
If you went down to Blockbuster and rented the video to watch it with your little brother or something like that, that's still in there. So that's awesome.
Well, and the other thing that was great about that was that Jesse Ventura's reaction.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I hope they get that Gene Okerlund.
It reminds us of the Shockmaster.
Well,
reaction.
I was going to say, because then 5 years later, when the Shockmaster debuts, all of a sudden, again, he debuts, they do the whole skit, and WCW Saturday Night, and it immediately shifts to like a wide shot of the crowd, and it's silence, and then you hear Jesse Ventura going, "Ha ha! How about that debut of the Shockmaster?"
That's awesome.
It was like totally parallel. It was awesome.
It was great. Okay, I didn't say this because what you mentioned, this is something in a conversation just brought up an interesting point. We're talking about Edge and Cena and all that stuff, how he's a slimy guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of an email I got from the Bannable. Now, he had emailed me. First off, he took me to task because I said he was from Köln, Germany, and
right.
I spelled it C-O-L-N, and it's actually spelled, and I realized it when I was listening back to the show, it's K-O-L-N, and I hope I pronounced it right.
Oh, okay.
But K-O-L-N. He had asked...
the K-O-L-F is going to rock you?
Yeah. But he had asked if they had done the same thing with Edge, and taking the title, he won the belt and then lost it the next night to Cena. There'd be no live sex celebration then. Mm-hmm. There had been no 3 or 4 weeks of ratings being up with him as champion. There'd be no goodbye rate for him losing the belt to Cena. Would things have been different if they had done to him what they did to Christian? And I thought that was actually an interesting question, so I just want to get your point.
What was the question?
The question is, if they had done the same thing to Edge and we hadn't got all the live sex celebration, buy rates, and the pay-per-view ratings up, they'd taken the title off just like they did with Christian the next night, essentially, when he first won that title.
Oh, had they done it
next night? How would things have been different? Do you think they would have been different? What do you think that would have meant for Edge and, you know, everything?
You know, the thing is with
speculation, of course.
Well, it's total speculation, but it's something that I think that would have been probably the worst thing that could have happened to Edge.
Yeah.
Personally. I don't say the worst thing. I think what made people sit up and take notice of Edge, and I say people, I think people within the WWE, is that...
He moved ratings.
Well, he moved ratings 2 weeks in a row with the live sex and then the match with Flair. And I think...
Yep.
But, I mean, the plan, like we talked about the Jesse Ventura deal last show with the Macho Man, or the Bob Backlund deal and Superstar Graham, I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
deal. But, you know, it was set in stone that Edge was going to lose, so he lost, but him getting in again. I don't know right now that the outpour for Christian isn't going to help him here get it back, albeit as a heel.
Yeah.
You know, we know about Over the Limit and how... they had the, you know, at the end of the match at Over the Limit, he did the, you know, Orton wins, Christian does the, shoves him,
Yeah.
And then he comes back and has second thoughts and shakes Orton's hand. And so they're slowly turning Christian heel. He's getting frustrated why he can't beat Orton.
Yeah.
And that story's playing out. So I think that when Christian turns heel fully, that it's going to be a situation.
It is interesting because it is a different situation. And they do have a long... If they had done that to Edge, Edge probably would have been out of the picture, and we never... I still think Edge was too good, and I think he would have met his potential. It would have taken longer. But...
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I looked at Edge. I mean,
but I'm not sure he has that feud with Foley then. If he doesn't have that feud with Foley, I'm not sure he ever gets back to the world title picture. So it's kind of interesting, because Foley also made him, like he made Triple H, but of course Edge was grateful.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's true. As was Tori Amos.
Yes.
But anyway,
and Katie Couric.
And Katie Couric, yes, and some sort of porn star from the 70s or something. Anyway.
Chrissy Canyon.
Not Chris Canyon,
oh, no. Geez. Though I'm sure she went both ways as a porn star.
That's true.
Yeah.
Who better than Chrissy Canyon?
That's right.
Rest in peace. Seriously. Canyon's another guy, right?
Yeah, Canyon's another one we lost early. Mm. But anyways... Okay, so let's move on to Hogan here.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. He had an interview on The Law.
Live Audio Wrestling. Now we're talking about a week and a half ago, I guess.
We haven't had time together.
Again, it was the Randy Savage situation that, we were going to talk about this on Sunday a week later, but, obviously people understand. And if you don't, well, fuck you. Hogan, what did he talk about here? He talked about how he tries to keep ego out of the decision-making process, brother.
That was his exact quote. He asked him about getting back in the ring, and he said, well, it's a calculated risk, but it's not stupid because he's with professionals and he won't get hurt.
Yes, he asked for the match against D'Lo Brown.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he wanted to be protected.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chest protected.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But... That's the thing. He goes, it's not for ego. I try to keep ego out of all my decisions.
Yes.
What? Exactly. We're talking about the expression egomaniac created for him.
You got to picture
this.
And
that was a shoot from Jesse.
And honestly, people, you have to picture this. I'm walking my dog down the street and I'm listening to Live Audio Wrestling. And he's going, and I'm walking him, and I'm walking past a bunch of people that are, playing hockey on the street or whatever with their kids and stuff. And Hogan goes, I like to keep ego out of this. And I'm like, what? I literally said that as I'm walking my dog with my earphones in on my iPod. And people are just kind of staring at me going, like, ooh, fuck, all right. There's a guy with split personality or something.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a crazy guy on the block again.
Okay, so what else? Everything he said was such a Mount Everest of bullshit that came out of his mouth.
Okay, so
it's usually just a mountain of bullshit from Hogan.
No,
this is an extra level.
Well, this really was. Well, this is a fresh level, I guess, because he doesn't do many interviews in the way that aren't strained from him. But he talked about the people who are the problem isn't that people aren't buying the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Is that people aren't seeing the shows. Because when he was in a hotel, he didn't get Spike TV.
That's right.
So people don't get the show. The people who see the show, the people who are actually watching Impact, are buying the show.
That's
buying
what he said.
Pay-per-view.
He said everyone is basically everyone seeing the show buys the show.
Well, he didn't say everyone, but he said the people
who are. Yeah.
The people.
It's true. Well, they do 1.5 million buys every month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's phenomenal.
Exactly.
1.5 weekly viewers.
Did you see George St. Pierre against Jake Shields at the last TNA show? That was great.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah.
The other problem with it is, and Hogan, to his, I don't want to keep ripping on Hogan here, so I want to come to his defense here, in that, because he didn't have all the facts, okay? He didn't know if there were 25 or 35 cable networks out there.
That's what he said. I'm not sure if there's 25
or
35.
I don't really know, brother. I don't know if there's 25 or if there's 35 cable networks out there, because there's five... And we're in Canada here, so we also have two Canadian networks, so maybe we're blessed that we get the Big Five American broadcast, two Canadian, and then we, even if I give Hogan, we get 35 cable. Fuck, no wonder I have 42 channels on my television.
Yeah, no wonder
I have
174 on mine.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened, because there isn't more than 25 or 35 cable networks. But
we must be stealing it then, brother.
Yeah, Zach. It's just the same.
I don't know if there are 25 or 35 cable networks, because it's actually 1991.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know that, brother.
Exactly.
And then why don't you just go back on Arsenio and talk about how you took the steroids to rehab an injury once?
Yeah, exactly.
Holy fuck. Like, that to me. Like, I understand bullshit.
Yeah.
No, it's weird that I actually understand bullshit. But,
well, you work in the finance industry.
Yes. But that's the fucking, like, Jesus Christ. Like, I mean, being in the finance industry, if you're going to lie, at least believably lie.
I know.
Like,
by the way, this drunk guy, finance industry.
Yeah, like, 20, 35 people, that's how long that I did not have sexual relations with that young intern. Like, that's...
It's terrible.
Same level of lying here.
I also like how the John Pollock, who was interviewing, came back and mentioned that it wasn't 90 million homes.
Now, twice.
Yeah, but
good.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, 90 million homes is not incredible penetration. It's not terrible either.
That's like your mom.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, 90 million homes is...
That's a third to a quarter of U.S. homes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And it's probably about...
Actually, I shouldn't even say that. I'm sorry. That's probably 90... When you say 90 million homes,
yeah.
If you figure three people to... What do they say? 3.5 people per home? That's probably every American home, almost.
It's probably... It's not every American home. It's not as many
homes... Was there 400,000 Americans?
Or 400 million?
That many? Or 400 million, sorry?
I think it's actually about 360 million. So.
Okay, 360
so it's actually
million.
Pretty close. You're right.
If there were four people... Per house,
yeah,
that would be every house. So it's almost every house.
It is. I mean, basically what we're saying is that...
I get it.
Is that USA Network is probably in every single house, and Spike TV is probably in almost every single house.
That's right. And let's put this out there.
By his logic, though, I mean, if they're doing a 1.5, Spike TV would have to be in one-third the amount of homes of USA Network, and that's why their writing is one-third of Raw's.
And let's put this very important point in this almost deal-clenching, Hogan, you're a fucking retard point down, is that their predecessor on that fucking network was WWF.
Yes.
Who is not WWE, WWF, who is doing a 5... Well, maybe WWE at that point. But let's say they debuted with a 5.0 rating,
yeah.
Or 5.1 rating on that show. And I'm sure... And
by
that
the time
was,
they left, they were about a 3.9.
And that wasn't even Spike TV. That was, like, not even the Nashville Network.
The National Network. Yeah.
And they were probably not even in as many homes then.
Paul Heyman's ECW was doing about a 1.2, 1.3 on that network.
That's true, too.
Yeah. So, I mean,
very
Hulk
true.
Hogan can...
At the end, I think they're doing 0.8, but still.
Yeah, but even then. But the point
what
is...
What about
though,
Roller
Hogan,
Jam?
That wasn't doing much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, it is Hulk Hogan just being full of shit again. And,
well, yeah. And
you know,
the thing
I mean,
is...
At some point in time, you just saying that, you look like a moron. Tell me, just say to me, hey, you know what, I am, as Addy goes off to take a piss, so if you're wondering why I'm going off on a fucking tangent here, it's because he's drank too much beer, he's irresponsible, I'm the responsible one. Okay, that's not true either. Anyways, what I'm saying is you can't sit there and tell people, and we talked about this with Vince McMahon recently. Oh, he's actually just getting more beers. He's fucking thirsty. Who blames him? We're out. But and we're talking TNA. Vince McMahon, we talk about him lying to his investors and the bullshit. Hulk Hogan's investors in many ways are, right now, whatever loyal fans he has left, he can't sit there and bullshit them.
Fuck it. No. What I think that with Hogan, though, I mean... Yeah, he did. I mean, that's an easily...
I think we're going 2 hours on this show.
I think we might, actually. But The thing with Hogan,
we thought we had nothing to fucking talk
I would
about
like
this.
I know. I'd like to say though is that by Thursday we were like, what the fuck are we going to talk about? But with John Pollock, I actually do want to applaud him because he did twice mention 90 million homes for Spike TV.
Yeah.
The other fucking thing that Hogan talked about was he said he wanted to come in and make the changes. He thought it was going to take 6 months, right? But didn't realize about,
that's why he wanted to go head to head.
He didn't realize about the marketing and how the marketing works. And so he didn't realize that it was going to take him a year and a half to get billboards up in Stamford, Connecticut.
Yeah. Well, so, here's the thing. He's talking about how, okay, another, yeah, billboards in Stamford, Connecticut, that'll turn it around. And that's just stupidity. But I want to talk about...
Well, guess where Bound for Glory is going to be?
Connecticut?
Stamford, Connecticut.
Oh, who gives a... Stupid.
Yes.
Who gives a fuck? But here's my point. I mean, why would you want to make the WWE aware of you when every time they are aware of you, they target you and make you take you down another peg? So, but here's my thing. Remember he sits there going, and he said that TNA's only been around for, I think, 10 years, brother. And but I don't know how long.
Right.
I don't know how long the WWE's been around. I don't know if it's 80 years
or
100
years.
It went from Vince McMahon to Vince's dad.
To Jeff's. Been,
yeah, to Adam, the original Adam, and the Garden of Eden, I believe.
Yes.
It's like you don't
know
what
you're talking
about.
Well, that's where Jake the Snake got his start.
Yeah, exactly. But
or Damien, at least.
When the WWF became
like
the WWF, that was a good joke.
It was.
I'm still going to no-sell it, but it became the WWF, and he took on, that was what, 1982? By 10 years, he was taking on Sid. This is your point,
oh,
right?
Yes, that was my, thank you
so
for
so don't
for
tell me that it takes fucking,
yes.
Yeah, well, okay, you make it.
All I was asking, and we did this off-air, and they were talking about how TNA is 10 years old, and he's going back 100 years, and I mean, the WWF has done this to say that it was Vince McMahon, and then it was, it was Vince McMahon Jr., Vincent Kennedy McMahon, Vincent Jess McMahon was there, and then Jess McMahon was the father of Vincent Jess McMahon, and so they were saying that he promoted mostly boxing, but also some wrestling, just to be able to give the lineage, or whatever. He probably did promote a fucking, I don't know, but anyway, so that's now Hogan saying that WWF's 100 years old, or WWE's 100 years old. Well, fuck, that ain't the case, and Vince McMahon Jr., Kennedy McMahon, bought about 1982. Well, 10 years later, that's 1992, and that's Hogan versus Sid, and that's really when Hogan was at his done, before he went NWO. That was.
But here's the thing. I mean, essentially, when you talk about how you've only been around for 10 years, how can you possibly have branded the company in 10 years? How long was WCW
basically
around? From 1991, was it they became WCW, to 1996 when they're doing this huge business, was 5 years. So again, it's just another line of bullshit from the huckster.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was. I mean, and we've interviewed Larry Fling, and it's just
Larry Fling.
Fling, yeah, we did.
Larry Fling,
last show.
Larry King.
Oh, Larry King.
We are going to interview Larry Flint in the future, I guess.
Are we really?
Yeah absolutely. Wow. Absolutely.
John Laurinaitis actually hired the wrong Larry Flint.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so. But only hired, only had one wheelchair.
But the thing is, let's go back to Hogan here and let's wrap up with the fact that Hogan, the other thing that he talked about was the name change.
Yeah.
And how, when he goes into a meeting with a multi-billion dollar corporation, like Chevrolet or McDonald's, he has to say that he's total nonstop wrestling. He can't say that action wrestling. He can't say he's TNA. Otherwise, it takes him, 10, 15 minutes just to describe that
they're not a strip club.
They're not a strip club. Because Hulk Hogan and Dixie Carter, conceivably broker meetings with Chevrolet and McDonald's all the fucking time.
Exactly. Exactly. That's again. Why say something so stupid
because
that exposes you so much?
And
here's two other quick things. He complained that people still complain about the six-sided ring. He complained.
Well, wrestling's meant to be in a four-sided ring, brother.
Yeah, not a playpen, not a six-sided ring, not a whatever. And the other thing, he said, you can't just put the belt on a Jay Lethal or a Matt Hardy. You have to look up at the minute.
I agree. They should not put the belt on Jay Lethal right now.
I would wish they would actually. Mm-hmm. Maybe he put a deposit down on it and he actually owns it and can take it to ROH.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
But I mean, again, it's. it's we have to look at the minute by minute. He basically said the exact same line, talking about why you can't do this and that with who and put the belt on this and that person, that Dixie Carter said in her You Shoot interview.
Love my grapes.
Yeah. So, okay. I'm gonna take a piss. You're gonna do whatever you
take
do.
Take care. Spike my hair.
No. And I tell you what, I'm gonna you hit a
why
subject.
Why don't you give me a topic?
I'm gonna give you a topic. Okay. You talk about this. Talk loud enough. I'm gonna.
Okay.
Yeah.
Be as useful as you normally are.
Yeah. Okay, I don't want to go too graphic for folks.
What do we need?
Keep the show going. We could pause it like professionals, but we're not going to. He's going to talk. I'm going to piss. He's going to talk about how Kevin Nash, also on the Law, said that you can't have a small guy teach big guys to work. You have to be a big guy to teach big guys to work. He needs to be the guy in developmental to teach. Mm-hmm. If they have another 6 foot 10 guy come in, they need someone like him who's his side to mm-hmm. teach him how to work like a big man. Small man could never possibly train a big man.
No,
of course, I bet he was trained by also another 7 footer is my guess.
Yeah. I think he probably was.
Go on that.
Okay, well, let's look at that because quite frankly, I think that Kevin, quite fucking frankly, I think that Kevin Nash was right. I think that if I don't know necessarily that you need to have I don't agree with that you have to have a small guy teach a big man to work, but I think if you have access to a big man to be able to teach other big men to work, I guess a successful big man is where I'll put it, and I don't know that there's that many successful big men out there that had long-standing careers. I mean, the greatest big man of all time unfortunately passed away, as I said last show, when I was 15 years old, and that was Andre the Giant. And I don't know a lot of big guys. I mean, there's the Big Show, who should be able to do some teaching and and facilitating with a guy. I think of like Brodeus Clay and guys like that. This just a big guy, but I mean, Kevin Nash, sure, why not? Why not have Kevin Nash teach Mason Ryan some things? Or Kevin Nash, I mean, is the wrong example, because I think Kevin Nash's best talents are those of a promo. So I think he should be teaching guys promo ability, big, small, or medium. But I don't necessarily think that there's anything that's wrong with, with a little guy teaching a big guy. But, I mean, I think primarily a big guy going, you know what, because I think that if someone is a big guy and successful, then they understand a little bit more of the nuance. Feel, okay, this is going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt, Sin Cara to do this move. So maybe you want to just hold this out for bigger things. Or maybe you want to use this move for certain scenarios. And, I just think that with a big guy, it is probably better to have him teaching another big guy. What do you think?
Okay, I'll tell you what I think. What constitutes a big guy? Like, how big do you have to be? What, 6'8"?
I don't put a parameter. I don't really put any
6'8",
kind of
powerhouse
parameter.
Guy.
Okay, so let's say 7.
Okay, so
six,
who are
seven.
The most successful guys? 6'7", 6'8", 300, 280, 280 pounds, 300 mm-hmm. pounds, in that range.
Okay.
Who are the most successful guys and who trained them?
I don't know who trained.
Like, who trained Undertaker? Who trained Nash?
Who trained Razor Ramon?
Yeah, Razor Ramon, and odds are it wasn't somebody of that same size. I can't look at somebody like Lance Storm and go, you know what, you're 5'11", and you're 200 pounds, you can't train those guys.
I didn't say that, though.
No, I know that. I'm just saying that, I'm talking about Nash is saying that. I think that's kind of ridiculous. So, I just think
I agree, though, that if you have access to, and Nash is just looking for a fucking job.
Well, of course he is.
And
I can't
that's
blame
fine,
that
and I don't blame him for that, and I don't blame him for saying it, and I don't think he's entirely incorrect. I think Kevin Nash is probably the wrong guy, because I said I think Kevin
you want
Nash
a guy
is,
can work.
I think Kevin Nash is a guy. Well, no, but how many big guys
he
work?
Has a role. Like, he can talk. He can teach guys how to get
that's
over.
That's what I said, big, medium, or small.
Yeah.
But how many big guys do we know that can work? I mean, yeah. I mean, Razor Ramon could.
Yeah. Undertaker, I'll give Undertaker, but he
Undertaker,
couldn't at
Undertaker, right?
But he couldn't at first, right?
No, not for he grew into that. But, I mean, how many guys, I mean, Danny Spivey, but, I mean, but again, the best trainers, aren't necessarily the best, all time,
Well, Rudy Boy Gonzalez is an excellent trainer.
Yes.
He wasn't a big star,
I'm telling
right?
you, Steve Austin and The Rock may not be the best trainers, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's the deal.
Yeah.
So, I don't know that, you know, Nash is just blowing smoke trying to get a job.
And some of the people the Rudy Boy trained, some of the people he trained included Brian Kendrick, Paul London,
Danielson.
Lance Cade, Danielson. So, you know, he had some successful guys there, and but, yeah, he wasn't a big star. So, I mean, that's it. That's not...
That is true. Now, we talked about Hulk Hogan. We promised Hulk Hogan was going to be...
Gotta have him on.
On the show. Did you want to try to get
Hulk Hogan on? Give me 2 minutes.
Okay.
No, not even. Two seconds.
2 minutes?
I got the fucker on speed dial.
Oh, okay.
Well, he's been sitting here waiting for me.
Man, better not be Lady Gaga. Yeah. Okay, so...
Hulkster, how you doing?
Well, you know something, Mo, brother. I'm just hanging and banging and chilling and illing, and I'm throwing back here in Venice Beach, California, dude.
In Venice Beach, I thought you lived in, like, Florida now.
No way, brother. Can't stand too much time in that shithole, dude.
Well, that's because that's where the wife is?
You know what I'm talking about, brother? That's where my wife, you know, my wife, and that's where...
Isn't that where Knobs is? Don't you want to watch WrestleMania 7 with him?
You know, dude, I've watched myself beat Sergeant Slaughter 874 times, brother, and I just can't do anymore. Knobs, he's a friend. He's, you know, Knobs, he's dialed in. He knows the deal. He knows what's happening. But, brother, you know, there's only so much of Knobs he can take, dude.
I would agree with that, actually. I personally hate it when he calls me, like, every day.
Nah, you know what I'm talking about, brother.
Well, you know, I'm hooked in with all the same guys.
You're hooked in, brother.
That's the thing. But let's talk about this. You talk about you've seen that. How many times have you actually watched? I'm curious. How many times have you watched WrestleMania 3? As Dave Meltzer put it when he was writing his bio in the MMA section, UFC section on Yahoo Sports this week, he talked about Randy Savage and he talked about that match at Pontiac Silverdome. Listed the attendance at 78,000. How many times have you gone back and watched WrestleMania 3 and that?
Let me tell you, that was a big moment, brother. That was a big moment. There were 98,000 people
78.
In the Pontiac Silverdome, brother. It was Hulk Hogan, okay, dude, that was there. The roof was about to blow off, brother, against a 640-pound Andre the Giant.
525.
And Andre, I tell you, brother, all day I'm going to Vince. I'm going to Vince McMahon. I'm saying, does Andre want to do business? Will Andre do the honors, as we say, brother, in our business? And Vince is going, don't worry, brother. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to make sure he's right. But when we went out there and I slammed the 694-pound Andre the Giant, I didn't know until that point that Andre was going to do business. And I dropped the leg, 1, 2, 3, you know the rest, heavyweight champion for the next 15 years, Hulk Hogan, and Andre, one of my best friends, we miss him, and just unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So what you say, when you lifted him up, and those 78,000 fans went crazy, just describe that moment. That was the loudest
when
part
I
when
got,
you finally lifted him.
When I got Andre up in the launch position, brother, and there were 117,000 people just blowing the roof, brother, blowing the roof off the Astrodome, or off the Silverdome, sorry, brother. It was unbelievable. You know, Andre, my back tweaked a little bit. Andre, at that point, 720 pounds, just picked him up, got him in the launch position, threw him down. Referee Joey Morella, 1, 2, 3. That was it. Hulk Hogan, Hulkamania, brother. He'll live forever.
Yeah. So is there more people in that stadium at 78,000 than there was than there is homes for Spike TV, or what's the case there?
Well, I'll tell you, brother. You know that and it's a good thing you point that up. I'm Spike TV, TNA, Impact Wrestling. Now we're dialed in. On this Impact Wrestling.
Legitimately, they're in 90 million homes, right?
We are. That's nine homes, you're right. And we get, we're dialed in.
Homes is how many bought the last pay-per-view.
You're right. You're right, Mo. We have loyal fans. Okay, the fan base is there. We got 9 buys on our last pay-per-view. 9 homes get Spike TV. 9 homes buy the pay-per-view. 9 homes get, we have 100% audience penetration for our pay-per-view. We're doing all right. The guys, as I said, they're dialed in there. They know the deal. They know the score. They know that everything that we do as wrestlers, as entertainers, as people on that program that they need to pay for to bring it to that next level. Because that's what we're trying to do with TNA. We're trying to bring it to the next level.
Is that what? And how do you compare that that bringing TNA to the next level and the nine homes, I think you said, and nine people, about 100% penetration, amazing.
Nine,
how do you
yeah.
compare what you're doing there to the slamming the 525-pound Andre the Giant in front of 78,000 people at the some Pontiac Silverdome?
Well, I tell you, brother, it's hard work. It's hard work both ways. It was hard work, I mean, in one instance with 130,000 people watching, and you slam a 947-pound Andre the Giant, okay.
947.
And you slam him down, brother.
How much was he? 947?
974,000 pounds.
Okay.
And the fault right. and the fault line shakes, brother. The fault line shakes there.
Well,
and
he was 974,000 pounds.
And you slam him, dude. And that takes you to the next level. That takes Hulkamania to the next level.
Well,
and that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to take Impact Wrestling, TNA, we're trying to take that to the next level, okay?
Wow.
And the guys there, all the fans there, and all the people, Bob Carter, Janice Carter, Dixie Carter, they're dialed in. They know what we're trying to do. We're trying to save. We thought, when I came in first, is I thought it was going to take, 2 days for this to all change. And it's going to take some time, because what we need to have is we need to have the marketing, right? Brother, we got to have marketing people. We got to know. Everybody's got to get, as I keep saying, everybody's got to get dialed in to the same deal. And that's why what we need to do is we need to have things like billboards in Stamford, Connecticut, right? Talk about what we need to do. We got to have Bound for Glory be in Stamford, Connecticut. We got to go to those major markets. We got to take that out to the people so that the people know that Impact Wrestling TNA is there.
Okay, now, when there's a girl in your company, I think one of the ways you can actually get more eyeballs and get Spike TV and more people wanting to order this and more people wanting to carry more and more people wanting it in their homes, the way you can do that is there's a girl, her name is Brooke Adams, her shoot name. It's Miss Tessmacher, and she has a fantastic ass, and you finally put her in some tight shorts and showing that off, and I applaud that. What do you think of that?
Well, any time, brother, that we can get somebody named Brooke in tight shorts, I'm all for that, dude.
Yeah? And what do you think of her ass?
Well, the thing is, her ass just top-notch,
Top-notch?
Brooke's ass is top-notch.
Brooke's ass is top-notch. Miss Tessmacher's ass is the best ass you've ever touched, right?
I got to tell you, Brooke's ass is the best ass I've touched, dude.
Ah.
What I got to talk about, though, is, but then we talk about that, and I know that, brother. And you know
Miss
that.
Elizabeth's
and
ass.
You know that. You're part of the wrestling media. You know that. But, dude, we're on Spike TV, brother. And,
you are?
And we're in nine homes. But the thing is, brother,
that explains the nine
is
it,
there's four, I don't know what, there's like two. Three. I've been doing some research here. I'm trying to get into this because I don't know these things. I'm not plugged into those numbers, brother. But there's like four cable networks in the United States.
And really?
We got to get there because I don't know if there's three or there's four, brother. But there's not that many, and we got to get in there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if there's only three or four, you should be number one. Hopefully, you can work your way up to that.
You get
into 10 homes.
When you have guys
and a lot of people would be. Because have you ever oiled up Brooke's ass? I can't remember.
Well, brother, we talk about the BP oil spill. Dude, Brooke actually caused that. We don't like to talk about that, but
okay. I don't think we can go on. I don't want to keep you too long. I think we have to talk about Randy Savage. What do you have to say about his death?
Brother, we lost a good one, dude. We didn't talk for 10 years. And absolutely zero people can substantiate this, but we just started talking again.
Really? Zero people can substantiate it, but it's
and
true.
There's zero people that can substantiate this, but we just started talking again. And, I don't know. I'm glad he was able to get over, his deal. That he didn't want to talk back to me. He didn't return my phone calls. I'm glad he was able to get over that. But brother, we're really gonna miss Randy. And all I can say is, you know, I used to shamelessly steal his catchphrase from time to time, and yeah.
But you know, it's nothing to do with what do you think he's with God? God called him home, or what's is that your viewpoint?
I gotta tell you, brother. You know, I don't know what he did. You know, he must have done some heavy shit just for God to lay that down on him. But heart attack and a car accident. But
looking back,
I don't know anybody, brother, that's been in a car accident. So.
No, that's true. You don't know anybody who's been in a car accident. And finally, you know, just to talk about this on Savage, you had that moment with Andre, you know, in front of 78,000 when you slammed the 525-pound giant. But he had a great moment also in front of the 78,000. Talk about his match there at Mania and compare that to your match with Andre.
Brother, I used to say I needed Ricky Steamboat. Brother, Ricky Steamboat used to have great matches. He couldn't go on more than 8 matches before mine, brother. But no, they had a decent match in front of the 194,000 people there in Pontiac, Michigan, and of course that capped off, brother. You know, the main event there where I body slammed the 297,000-pound Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
You know, dropped the leg from Joey Morella. 1, 2, 3. I was upset, or I was afraid, brother, that when I slammed the giant, that the fault line was gonna break, and Andre the Giant and Bobby Heenan were gonna fall into the ocean floor.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that after he's just finally done business.
Well, now then, when I knew he was dialed in, when
he was dialed in,
though, brother, I knew I wasn't worried before, but when I knew, I was worried, but I wasn't worried about that. But then when I talked to Vince and he told me that Andre was business and he was going to do that and he was in there and you know, he understood what we were trying to do there. He understood the big picture, brother. And it was the big picture that we're looking at now with TNA and Impact. And it's a big picture. We talked with Spike TV when we're trying to get out of 9 homes. We're trying to get to at least 11. And that's going to happen in the next 2 years. Let me tell you, brother.
Excellent.
We're really working hard. That's the Hulk Hogan name.
That's
what Bob Carter and Janice Carter, that's what they're paying me for, brother, is it's to get Hulk Hogan's name out there. We had a press conference in Madison Square Garden where we're never going to run, and we did that for a reason, brother. And that's just to show how redundant our company is, dude.
Ah, I gotcha. Redundant's a big word. And 297,000 pounds is a heavy man, so that's quite the feat of strength. I'm impressed by you there, and thank you very much for coming on. I just want to say, in my opinion, you're not going to get to 11 homes. You're in 9 homes currently. That's why you have 9 people buying that pay-per-view. That's the problem with Spike TV, but I believe because you're such a big star, triple, brother, you'll get to 27 homes.
Brother, well, thank you, brother, and I understand. I understand this is a marathon, not a sprint, Mo, but with fan support like yours, I know that we can do it, dude. And thank you very much for having me on We Talk Wrestling. Brother, say hi to Addy for me. I know he's just probably grabbing another beer, brother, but I know Addy's dialed in. He knows the deal. He knows the thing. I know his dog's dialed in.
He's just taking a Russo.
He's doing
and
that.
And by the way, how's your relationship with Russo?
Perfect, dude.
Okay, thanks, Hulk.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks very much, Hulk. Wow, that's great. It's,
that was
how often do you have a
7-hour interview with Hulk Hogan?
Just a legend. Just a legend. You know, wow. He just, you know, he didn't hold back, though.
No, he did not hold back. Speaking of holding back, I want to say this. I downloaded the Impact game for the Android. It's also out on the iPhone. It's
Why?
On the iPad. It's the Android. It's an Android phone, Android tablet. I downloaded it. It's getting fairly good reviews. I tried the video games, and I just want to say it's shite.
Oh, we both fucking tried that shit. Like, we were
the
on
The controls
our,
are horrible.
Well, it was fucking, I'm just sitting there, I'm going, what button do I press? And it's all, I was, who the hell was I? I was Shannon Moore against Hernandez.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, was that stupid. I managed to get a suplex off, and I'm hitting the button.
Exactly.
What the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah, terrible. So I were recommending
and
everybody...
You know what I did? And actually, I was playing the game both... There was 3 of us in the car. It was me, you, and Gene Okerlund.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure it out, so I handed it to Gene Okerlund.
Yeah.
And then we taped him.
Yeah. And Gene, this is what he had to say about playing
Gene
the
Okerlund,
game.
Gene Okerlund, let's hit the button. Do we have the
what
recording?
What did you say about playing TNA Impact on the Android tablet?
Let's hit the recording of... Fuck it!
That's what he had to say.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
Jesus.
Seriously, it's $3, and that's $3 you could spend instead on something else.
Porn.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
The lines are flashing here at the Palatial Studios here. Let's hit the button. I think I recognize that name. Joey Lawrence, what did you think of Gene Okerlund's Impact review?
Whoa. Mm. So Joey Lawrence talks too much.
I know.
Hey, I have another person on who wants to tell us what
really?
He thought about. Yeah, what he wants to know what. He wants to tell us what he thought. He's actually a member of the TNA roster.
Oh wow, this would be good. Samoa
Joe wants to talk about what he thinks of TNA.
What do you think of like the booking of the? Ask him what do you think
of the
Samoa
TNA
Joe?
Impact
what do you what do you think of the booking of the character mode of the TNA
the career mode? Yeah,
the career mode of the TNA game. Fuck Russo.
That's he never says anything new, but you know what? He always says something
wise. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? We have another call on. Holy shit! The Governator's calling.
Oh, is the Governator calling now?
Yeah, the Governator's calling.
Oh my god. Okay, so let's take this one here. Sorry, let me hit the button. Hello, Governator. Is that you? Are you on the air?
Oz me on Donald. Oz Zaddy.
This is Addy. Yeah, this is Addy. Governor, Jesus, you've been in the news a lot. How are you?
Well, thanks very much for having me on. You know, it's an honor and it's a privilege to be on your show. You know, and I reach other listeners and tell them, you know, the scandal. I'm very sorry about everything that's happened.
Well, we're talking about the scandal is out in the news, but, I mean, we talk wrestling, so I thought I'd ask you about, you know, you punched out Triple H one time on SmackDown in one of the early days. What was that like?
Well, you know, it was very big and very good moment for me. The Triple H, he's a good man. He was he's much like my wife and my sons and everyone. He's a good man. Somebody that I need to apologize to for my actions, you know. I should not have punched him in the face. He's a good man, and I just want to say that. And, of course, I got to say my wife's a fucking whore.
Okay, well, you said it before, okay, your wife's a whore, because earlier you said...
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, you said your wife is a good man, though. Yeah. So Maria Shriver, of course, your wife, your maid, was there, doing what you were doing.
Well, again, I got to apologize to the maid, Donald, you know, and I wanted to hit the maid, and I did hit the maid, I hit that, you know.
You did hit the maid, yes.
Yeah, but that was a mistake, you know, and I should be nice to her and nice to my son, and it's not like that, you know, that Maria, and I apologize to her and other people, and, you know, as a governor, and, you know, and other people of California for my actions, but yeah, so the maid, she's a good woman, and you know, of course, also a fucking cunt.
Really? Okay, so I wanted to track this. So we talk wrestling, and this is breaking news, and people, thank you for paying, staying so long and listening. This is another, you know, 90-minute-plus show, but this is actually breaking news. Are you saying, Governator, that your maid was Dixie Carter?
My maid was Dixie Carter. That's true. And you
Dixie
know,
Carter.
That's true. Me and Dixie Carter, my neighbor, their name is Dixie. And we had a son, actually. He became a wrestler, too. His Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle is your child. And you and Dixie Carter had a child, and it's Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle, yeah. Me and Dixie Carter, we had the child, the Hornswoggle. And that
really?
But, you know, that's why he is such a genetic masterpiece, you know. And and so my wife and the maid and everyone, I just want to say I love you all. I'm very, very sorry, you stupid fucking bitch cunt whores.
Okay. Well, we're going to leave you there. Thank you very much, Governator, former Governor of California. Do you have any final things before we let you go? We're running out of time here, please.
I'll be back.
You'll be back. All right. Well, Jesus, I mean, wow. You imagine, that's the Governor mode. What do you think?
I think he's a worker.
You do you?
I do. I think the Governor is a worker.
Wow.
Yeah. I think we should, are we going to wrap this up here? Should I go out on a joke?
I think we should wrap this up. I think you should go out on a joke.
No, okay, man. Seriously, here's because we've been having a really sad show talking about the Arnolds. you know, stuff and the big argument and of course the Hogan and the, you know, the Randy Savage, his thoughts on that. Let's go to something upbeat. So this man goes into a bar and there's a drunk guy beside him, right? The guy falls off his stool.
You leave me alone. Like,
what? No, I'm not talking about you. This drunk man was not you. He picks the guy up, puts him back in his stool, and he falls back down.
Fuck it.
He looks at the guy, the bartender, and he says, "Hey, bartender, how much has this guy had to drink?" The bartender says, "I don't know. He was already drunk when I showed up. He was already on the floor." He's like, "Well, I think I'm just going to drive him home." So he helps the guy up and looks at his wallet, you know, sees his address, puts him on his shoulder, takes him out to his car, puts him in the car and he's driving off, you know, and gets to the guy's house, and he opens up the door, says, "See if you can make it to the, can you make it to the front door?" The guy shakes his head, yes. Guy falls right down on his face. He's like, "Jesus Christ." Gets out there, picks the guy up, carries him to the front door, rings the doorbell, right? Yeah. The woman answers, and he goes, "Hey, is this your husband?" She goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, I took him home from the bar because he couldn't make it himself." She goes, "That's great. Where's his wheelchair?" O-U-T.
O-U-T. Wow. In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.